This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Well, good morrow, everybody. I have to tell you, I am one unhappy camper. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Now, you might think, why today of all days would I be an unhappy camper? If you know me, one thing that's going to bring a smile to my face is the fact that bars are reopening and restaurants can now be at full capacity. Well, it's because I usually stumble in here around, 11:30, midnight, and almost nobody else is here. So I could essentially do this radio show in my pajamas. Then, a month ago, we had this lovely, beautiful woman who happens to be a very talented journalist start doing this show. And first of all, she's doing incredibly compelling live and local talk, doing great interviews with newsmakers, really putting me to shame, actually causing me to actually have to put in a hard day's work. And she's dressed to the nines. She's looking great on a daily basis. I said, well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't be wearing pajamas on a daily basis. Then, as of today, WABC adds one of the best-dressed men in radio to be on before me every single day. A guy that I have never seen not have a suit and tie on the radio. I would say to him, hey, pal, we're not on TV. It's radio. No one can see you. Take off your tie. He says, no, I have too much respect for the profession. So I can't run around in a bathrobe and slippers if Dominic Carter is going to be dressed to the nines. I'll tell you, I might be sad about my wardrobe effect, but I am just tickled pink and thrilled to be following first Rita Cosby and Dominic Carter. And I am elated that both of them have agreed to stick around with us a few minutes. Dominic, let me first welcome you to WABC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rita Cosby.
Thank you, Rita. It is
Woo!
So nice.
Wait, I got the cheering
so
section.
Nice.
Wait, I want to hear the cheering section a little louder.
Okay.
All right.
It is so nice to be part of the family. I have enormous respect on a human level. All right.
Not for Frank, but for me.
But, no, of course.
As it should be.
I noticed he looked at me when he said
exactly.
No, because and I'm not. But for the Casamentides family, because
we
all know how good hearts that John Casamentides, Margot Casamentides, and they're just doing things that are unconventional.
That's for sure.
For New York radio.
Well, and I would add, and the ratings I think are indicative of this, not just good hearts, but good heads. I mean,
yes.
I think the sound radio programming that we've seen at WABC is starting to pay dividends all over the market. And I wouldn't be surprised to see other radio stations elsewhere emulate this. So you're going to be on Dominic Carter every day, midnight to 1 a.m. This is live and local talk, very compelling, cutting edge. For people that don't know your history, a lot of people have heard you fill in at WABC over the last, few years. Probably a lot of New Yorkers knew you best from your role as an anchor on New York One. You also did some anchoring and some reporting for RNN.
Yes.
You've moderated some of the most watched debates and some of the most talked about local political debates in the history of New York State. Debates with Hillary Clinton, Mike Bloomberg, people like Elliot Spitzer. You actually, though, did not get your start in TV. You got your start in radio, didn't you?
Yes. I got my start at WLIB, WBLS Radio in New York.
Oh, wow.
And I ended up here at WABC because of two former, one's on leave, but Curtis Sliwa and Ron Kuby. And they, brought me in, and whenever I would see Rita, she was always so nice. And Frank, you and I go back. It's just nice to be in an environment where it's not a cutthroat environment. And, I've got to be on my P's and Q's as well, Frank, because Rita tees it up and hits it out the park every night, right? And I got to come after her. So
Rita. You guys are too kind. I'm the warm-up. But I have a question. Frank says this is him well-dressed. I thought this was his pajamas.
So, Rita, if he thinks this is not a cutthroat environment, you could tell it's only his first day.
I was going to say, he needs a little more caffeine for us.
Rita, in all seriousness, as somebody that's doing her second tour of duty here at one of the most iconic radio stations in America and who's already built quite an audience from 10 p.m. to midnight every day, any advice for Dominic coming tonight's veteran broadcaster like this? Certainly knows the New York political scene as well as anybody, but being on at midnight is certainly a different animal. Any advice either lifestyle-wise or substantively?
Well, I did do a segment about cannabis, and so that might be a good. I mean, no. My advice to Dominic, and not just because we're on the air, but I say this to Dominic privately. I adore Dominic, just like I adore you, Frank. And I think I always think people, and we've all been in broadcasting a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been in broadcasting many, many years in TV and radio and everything.
You're only 21.
And I'm only 21. So out of the womb, I started doing it. But I always tell, be yourself. And Dominic has such an awesome personality.
That's for sure.
And I love the fact that he takes calls. Because people want to hear. People want to engage. There's so much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And for people to be able to hear from you and get your perspectives of New York and of the city and of the streets that you love and you lived in, it is the greatest time. I feel like he's going to be a kid in the candy store. I don't need to give him any advice. He's going to be awesome.
Dominic, and by the way, if people want to call in and chat with Dominic, Rita, and me, you're welcome to do so. But you have questions about what's happening locally in the political scene, what's happening radio-wise, or anything else, or if you want to give a piece of advice to Dominic, although it doesn't sound like he really needs it, you're welcome to give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. Obviously, it's, this is a medium where a lot of the people, particularly on this station, are well known for giving their opinions. You're mostly known as being kind of a straight-laced, objective, hard-hitting reporter. How do you balance that? The expectations maybe on the part of the listener for to be preached at or to argue with somebody, whereas your natural inclination and your whole 3-decade career in broadcast journalism is not to give your opinion and to just kind of go wherever the story takes you.
It's been a learning process to come out of the gate and give your opinion more.
Liberating, don't you think, in some ways?
That's the word I'm looking for, Rita. It has been liberating. But everywhere I go, I'm asked that question, right? And it's a real simple answer. It's a real simple, simple answer. And I believe this about almost all the talents at WABC, that we just call it the way it is, the way that we see it. And so I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to scream at you.
But I might scream at you, depending on the night. I screamed at someone earlier tonight who said that I was telling you earlier, the women were saying, there were a couple of women, a guy who called in and said, oh, women are making it up against Cuomo.
Right. No, that's not cool.
You don't call into my show and get away with that.
That's not cool. That's not cool at all.
We did see the Cuomo sexuals out there protesting. Did you see that in the Wall Street Journal?
Rallying
on his behalf. Flooding the Cuomo hotline with messages of support. That was an interesting thing. I'd like to know who organized that group. But since I have two very astute political minds here, let me ask you a little bit about the other pseudo-sex scandal that seems to be brewing in New York politics, and that has to do with Scott Stringer. So this woman, Jean Kim, came out, and she indicated that back in 2001, the then assemblyman, now controller, Scott Stringer, made a lot of unwanted sexual advances. She went through the whole litany. I'm not going to repeat everything. Since then, he's lost a great deal of support from some of the progressive lawmakers that were backing him, from the Working Families Party, a very progressive left-wing entity. Stringer doesn't seem to be showing any signs of dropping out of this race. I've seen more TV commercials from Stringer in the last week than I have during the whole campaign. First, Rita, then Dominic. Where do you see this going politically, and do you think Stringer can maybe survive this?
I think he can survive this. And one word, Cuomo. Because if you look at everything we were just talking about, Cuomo has had so many investigations into him right now. I mean, we got the 10 women, which I reminded the caller about. We also have all the different federal investigations. We got the state investigation. And yet, if you look at the polls, some of the recent polls still show that Cuomo has a higher approval rating. And you would think, after all of that, how could somebody survive that? But he is a survivor. His family's a survivor. It doesn't mean he's going to make it all the way through. It's a long way between now and Election Day for the governor's next race. Of course, that's after mayors and all that. But in terms of Scott Stringer, he came out and also said that it was consensual. And there are a number of people who've stood by him. He has lost a lot of endorsements, but because of ranked choice voting, and you know that all super well, Frank, he was number two in a lot of the polls that I saw in ranked choice voting behind Yang. Yang was
that
number
was largely
one.
Before this scandal.
That was
though,
largely
right?
before that, but he had enough of a cushion. And let's see, I don't count anybody out in politics.
Dominic, 8 years ago, Anthony Weiner was at or near the lead, first or second, most of the opinion polls a month before the primary. He did an interview with you. You were one of the first interviews that he did, in which he said there may be more of these sexed messages out there. Lo and behold, some of these women came out and revealed some of the contents of their conversations, and his lead evaporated, and a lot of his support ended up going to Bill de Blasio. Can you see a scenario in which Stringer is this year's Anthony Weiner? And if so, where does his support go?
When you say this year's Anthony Weiner, meaning that his days are numbered?
Essentially, yeah.
Then yes, I see him as this. You know, you want to hope that Rita's correct in this assessment and that I'm wrong, because you want to believe that even though an allegation has been made, I've been thinking about this a lot, right? So let's just say, for argument's sake, that the allegation is not accurate. Then that means this man's entire career that he's worked all these years for has ended on something if it turns out not to be true. But I just want to tell you this quick story. Two quick points about how great WABC is.
I've got 5.5 hours to fill. Yeah, you don't have to make anything great.
Make it long. Make it a long story, okay, Al Frank?
So, you know, it's early in the morning, right? And the natural thought will say, okay, well, these guys pre-recorded this. The three of them pre-recorded. No, we're live. Right now.
100% live.
We are live. Live. It is 1:16:38, and now it's 39.
as live as can be. You mentioned the Weiner interview that I did, and he actually put it in his documentary. Mm. Or the documentary was. So here's the true story of what happened. So Weiner agrees to sit down with me. Why? I don't know. But he agrees to sit down with me.
Because
right?
I think he's arrogant, too. I think Weiner thought he could outbeat, you know, it was like, it's sort of this like, okay, I can do it again. I can do it again. I can, you know, it's that sort
well,
of.
I'm going to reveal what he said afterwards for the first time. And I hope I don't get myself in trouble. But so we do the interview, and we're all colleagues. Mm. You know, we've been in the media a long time, the three of us. So there are certain questions that you expect a regular answer, but you have to ask it anyway. So I said to myself, okay, you have to ask him, has there been any other contact with any other women? And I'm like, of course he's going to say no. And then we're going to keep on moving.
Right.
And so I asked the question. He pauses.
He says there might be, right?
And I think he panicked, thinking that I may have known something or may have had an email.
Right.
And he
as opposed to knowing that's a logical question. Right.
And he said, yes. And as soon as he said that, I almost fell through the floor, and I'm like, this is the beginning of the end of your campaign for mayor.
Now, what did you say after he said yes?
I followed up once. To be honest with you, I was trying to give him a lifeline because I knew that his campaign was ending right there. I think he knew it as well. And as soon as the interview was over, and this is something that I've never revealed, He stood up, and there were producers in the room, and he said, why did I agree to do this interview?
Right,
he said, Dominic is a surgeon when it comes to interviews. Why did I do this? And sure enough, within a matter of hours, the headlines were out, and it was the beginning.
It's safe
of the
to
end.
Say that Scott Stringer will not be appearing with you this week, I guess.
Not the surgeon. He wants to stay away from the scalpel.
Right. But the same thing happened with Alan Hevesy.
Right.
As the state controller. So I had just did the Hillary Clinton debate up in Rochester, right? And I get a call from my political director, Bob Hart, and he says, Dominic, you got to jump on the next plane, get back from Rochester. Hevesy has agreed to do a debate on Monday night.
So you're like, I'm in.
Right. So, but I'm also saying to myself, why in the world would you do this? You know the questions that I have to ask you. And so Hevesy agreed to do it, and it was not pretty.
Look, ultimately, he still won, even after that debate performance,
right.
And even after he essentially admitted to the kind of conduct that put him in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, it's difficult to measure what's a successful debate performance and what's not.
But a quick story about Rita. Quick story about
Rita.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Now this is what I want to hear.
Oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh, dirt. Go ahead.
No, and how dedicated she is, right? So we did the WABC debate for Democrats running for mayor the other day, right? And Rita was one of the panelists at the first one. And then we start doing the second one. And check out who's sitting up front taking ferocious notes and discussing the debate that night on her show.
Well, you know, I could have written a book. I wrote so many notes. I'm so used to it. The journalist is me. I'm like, and also there were some great quotes. You guys, Governor Patterson, you had so many great questions. And that's why this is such a great time to be in the business too.
That is for sure. We're talking with Rita Cosby and Dominic Carter. You can hear Rita every weeknight, 10 p.m. to midnight. And as of today, you can hear Dominic every weeknight from midnight to 1 a.m. If you want to comment on anything we're covering, 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. I'm sure you're both particularly eager to go home. But before you leave,
you got to keep Dominic in here all night. You got to break him in. You got to break him in. Come on. Let's show him what the overnights look like.
Let me ask you about the front runner in the race for mayor at this point, Andrew Yang. Now, a lot of people are quietly whispering in media circles, and I'm sure you've heard this from your friends that are journalists or editors, that they don't want to make the same mistake locally with Andrew Yang that they did nationally with Donald Trump, which is give him a whole bunch of free publicity because he's interesting, because he's a celebrity, and because people want to hear about him, and then essentially give him all this free campaign advertisements, whereas the other candidates can't compete with that. So some outlets, the Daily News, for instance, they've tried to hit Yang for not voting, hit him for getting the bodega thing wrong, hit him for fleeing New York City during COVID. For some reason, in spite of the fact that his numbers have dipped a little bit in the most recent poll, none of these attacks really seem to be sticking. Do you think that Andrew Yang has this kind of staying power where he could end up being, A, the Democratic nominee and then the mayor of New York City?
I mean, he could. I mean, one of the other things is the New York Times story. There's a New York Times story, I believe it's New York Times, that has where he claimed, okay, I'm going to make 150,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it
right.
turned out it was 150 jobs. So that's a big difference. I obviously was more of a English and literature, but I can figure out the math that is not correct, right? So there's definitely a problem there. So I think they have given him a bit of a free pass until this moment. And I think part of it is also, even though he's doing a lot of press conferences, he's still kind of restrictive on access that he gives. He's taking it a little bit from the Biden school of campaigning, and sort of hiding in certain areas. So, you know, he's been open on press conferences, but he hasn't really kind of gone for the scalpels and for the surgeons. So I think it depends. I mean, right now, the primary is not that far away. I mean, it's a lifetime in politics, as we all know, but it's June 22nd not that far away. And now with the Stringer issues, we'll see where Eric Adams shakes out. We'll see where the ones who were at the great debate that you were doing, moderating there. I think there's still a very good chance. I do think he will be under the microscope more. But I think he's going to try to kind of weave and bob and thread the needle until June 22nd.
Dominic, I always enjoyed when you were hosting Inside City Hall, the Wise Guys segments that you would do in the iteration of the Wise Guys when it was Ed Koch, El D'Amato, and Mark Green. Yesterday, Mark Green came out, endorsed Maya Wiley for mayor. I'm wondering, now, Scott Stringer has gotten a lot of left-wing support. Now that AOC wing of the party, at least among elected officials, seems to be abandoning him in light of these allegations. Could Maya Wiley be the beneficiary of Stringer being taken down a couple of notches?
Well, if you listen to her opening statement regarding the debate that Rita just mentioned, the WABC debate, She had a minute and a half to make her opening statement, and 15 seconds in, she pivoted and turned to Scott Stringer and called for him to get out of the race. This is only my speculation, but it's speculation based on 35 years in political journalism. I don't think Scott Stringer is going to make it. He's going to finish the race, but I think that he is, for lack of a better term, on life support. And I don't think that Mr. Yang, Rita made some great points. I don't believe he's going to be able to run out the clock. He's trying to run out the clock.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you were betting at this point, I mean,
if I were betting that, I would say that it's going to go to Eric Adams.
You know,
and the reason why I say that, because as an African American, he's sensible to the business community in terms of supporting the return of the street crimes unit. And anybody that's reasonable, the street crimes unit is a good thing. Listen, we get it with the allegations that were made, but right now New York is about to go under in terms of crime. And our police must be supported, and they must have the element of surprise against the criminals.
Let me ask you this, Dominic, and I hope you don't view this question as at all patronizing or insulting.
Okay.
But
okay. You
are, as of today, the only black radio talk show host that's part of our daily lineup,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
Eric Adams is a former cop who's mm-hmm. now calling for bringing back some, not all, but some
right.
of the tough on crime
right.
policies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does the fact that Eric Adams is black, does that protect him at all from the cries of the far left that he's too tough on communities of color when it comes to policing? Does that give him a little bit of elbow room and breathing room that a candidate like Catherine Garcia or Sean Donovan wouldn't have? Whereas if they were to call for bringing back the anti-crime unit, they'd be labeled as racists trying to bring back the worst era of the NYPD.
It's not patronizing the question at all. It's a very fine line that Eric Adams is walking. Because frankly, as the African American, if he's elected, he would be only the second African American mayor of New York City mm-hmm. behind David Dinkins. And the easy route for him would be to say no to the street crimes unit. And so I give him credit for speaking his heart. Maybe it's a play towards moderates, but it's something that could work against him in communities of color. So I don't think it gives him any leverage or any cover. I think it's something that could potentially blow up in his face, to be honest with you.
Rita, and I'll end with this here, and we'll move
Wait, I thought,
on.
I thought we'd be going to 5 a.m.
Hey, you can stick around, both of you. You guys have an open invitation any day of the week.
We're ready.
We all have a relationship, a long-time relationship professionally.
Not with Anthony Weiner, but go ahead.
With the leading Republican for mayor, Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah.
The conventional wisdom has it, Rita, that the Democrats primary is essentially the entire election. Given the dynamics politically in New York City these days, honestly, do you think that's the case, or can you see a scenario where there will be a competitive general election?
I see a scenario. I do, obviously, look, the facts are, you look at some of the numbers, you know, 8-9 to 1. I mean, it varies on the different polls. Obviously, it's very much a Democratic city, and it's always hard to overcome. But we could have, you know, sadly, a perfect storm for New Yorkers. And I say that, and you look back at what happened with Rudy Giuliani. You look at how bad crime was at that time, how big of an issue. It is a huge issue right now. It is driving out business. It's driving out homeowners. I mean, you look at the numbers. There are so many people I know that have left New York, and it's not really COVID. It's really the crime. It's 99%, I think. You know, if you talk to them just personally, they do not feel as safe. And I think that's why I actually think this moment, I think last time, yes, it was going to go definitely to mm-hmm. a Democrat. I think even the time before it was definitely going to go to a Democrat. I think there is a chance for a Republican this go round because the situation sadly is so bad in New York. Again, it depends who they go up against. And that's why I was, you know, listening. I love politics, as we all obviously do here, so much. And it may depend if it's a Yang. It may actually even be a little bit easier for a Republican if it's a Eric Adams, for the same reason that Dom was just saying, because he's sort of getting into, he's got, he's an NYPD guy. He's got that experience. He's talked about bringing the street crimes unit. So he doesn't look like he's so, quote, soft on crime. So that's why I think a lot of it actually has to do with who that other person is, that that other person is seen so extreme. And some of the rhetoric we heard from the debate, it was interesting to hear them using the terms. You know, we've all been broadcasters. I always look at people's lingo, and the terms are, well, we're going to be moving and adjusting some of the funds from this police unit to this. It's like I'm in the background going, how much are you want to defunding police? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you talking about? But that, so I think that if you get someone who appears to be so soft on crime, it actually may open the door for a Republican. And there's some great Republican candidates. You talked about Curtis is there. You got Fernando, but I think that there is a moment right now. If you look at it right now, it's really anybody's race. And that's exciting for people like us who love politics.
Well,
really
it's certainly going to be a long time from now to November, but no shortage of things to talk about. Dominic, welcome aboard officially.
Thank you. It is great
to have you.
Thank you. It's
an honor to follow you. Rita, it's always a treat to be able to spend time with you on a nightly basis.
So, and I
tomorrow,
love both the boys. Well, I am so happy to be with two of my favorite people.
Should I wear my pajamas?
Yes.
Yes.
Get this guy a bathrobe. What is going on here?
Come on. Please don't.
Thank you. Thank you both. You're always welcome here anytime. I'll look forward to seeing you soon. We'll let you get some sleep.
And we're live at 1:30 in the
morning. You know it. You know
we
it.
We are. Welcome aboard. We adore you.
Thank you.
And
I feel
everybody's
the same
in
way.
For a real treat. It's so
thank
great
you.
To have you.
1-800-848-WABC. I'll take your calls next. What's 1-800-848-9222? This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.